This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. One of, if not the, hallmarks of the Trump presidency to date has been his focus on borders. The southern border, of course, the travel ban as well, and now a trade war that's upending the way global commerce moves across our borders. Just this week, Canada, our closest ally, geographically certainly and geopolitically probably, hit back with its own steel and aluminum and assorted other stuff tariffs, which is one of the reasons I'm talking to Porter Fox. He spent 3 years exploring the 4,000 miles of the U.S.-Canadian border from Maine out to Washington State for his new book, which is called Northland. Porter, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Give me a sense of what it's like when you're actually out there. I mean, did you know where the border was most of the time? Or were you hiking and canoeing and just kind of going on your merry way west? And did American authorities know where you were since we're, you know, in theory, keeping closer eye on our borders?
Well, that's the big question. I crossed the border dozens of times on many different occasions, mostly because I was completely lost. It is wild, wild country. You're talking about some of the largest roadless areas in the United States, the boundary waters of Minnesota, the North Woods of Maine. I mean, these are places where you can just walk for hundreds of miles and not run into anything. So it was very hard to know where I was, and especially in these backcountry areas, there's just hardly any indication of what is Canada and what is the United States.
And that's the thing that comes through in this book, and part of that is just the way the population density works out. I mean, for us, the northern border is, and apologies to everybody who lives near there, and I've been up there and I like it, and it's lovely country, but it's remote and almost empty. But something like 90% of Canadians live within like 100 miles of the American border or something?
Yeah, they think it's very kind of hilarious that Americans don't go close to their northern border and don't really pay much attention to it. But 90% of them are within 100 miles of their southern boundary. And it's very unpopulated. About 10% of the U.S. lives along the U.S. northern border, and much of that is in border cities like Detroit and Bellingham. Yeah. And you know, you get into North Dakota and Montana, and it's just wild country.
Resource rich, though. Money poor, but resource rich, right?
Absolutely. And that's how a lot of it was settled as well. The timber trade, the fur trade. In modern times, you're looking at the Bakken oil play, the shale play. And so that's why a lot of those communities in the Northland are where they are.
Talk to me for a second about the cross-border economic dynamic, right? We hear about it on the southern border all the time, the maquiladoras and NAFTA and imports and exports. The Canadian trade relationship with the United States and the amount of trade going and coming across that border is monumental.
It's the busiest international border in the world. You're talking about $2 billion, nearly $2 billion in goods and services, 400,000 people legally crossing the line every day.
Every day?
Every day. And,
wow.
And you're looking at, giant U.S. like the auto industry. You know, an American-made car can cross the border up to seven times. There's a border town in northern Maine where Canadians are cutting wood on one side of the line and bringing it over the line to mill it and then trucking it back over again. Hmm. You know, there are folks that drive those trucks, that run those chainsaws. You know, the border has been very permeable since the very beginning. Cross-border trade was, it was there before the border was there. Hmm.
When you got to the end out on the Pacific coast, what was your takeaway from this whole trip?
Well, I really saw the northern tier of the U.S. as a kind of standalone region. You know, that was what I was kind of hoping I would find. Another thing that I realized was, that this border was not taken seriously. The border was incredibly porous, and that, you know, some people would take that as being very alarming, but in reality, that was kind of how it was made. It was always called the world's friendliest border, and it was that way so that the U.S. and Canada could do business together. It's hard to talk about border security and say, well, sure, you can walk across the line wherever you want. But the answer is not to just lock it down. You know, the line is not hard, and it probably shouldn't be for the sake of both of our economies.
It's a book called Northland by Porter Fox. Porter, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Kai.